Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Hello again. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. So glad you've joined us here as we take you into the garage area and talk to the men and women and folks that make the race cars go around the racetrack. I'm Steve Post, pit road reporter for the Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time race-winning crew chief and championship-winning crew chief, Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm great. Came off a weekend of just spectacular racing all the way from Friday through.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, the truck race at ORP, IRP, Lucas Oil. Yeah.
I had this at the bottom of my notes. Let's put it right at the top. Okay.
Yeah.
Ty Majewski and Joe Scheer.
Yes.
They only win in the playoffs.
It's when you need to, right?
When you need to. And man, oh man, talk about the time to get the first win of the year. Lock themselves right into the next round.
Dominant.
And dominant.
Yes.
They've been good leading up to this. This is not a shocker.
Yeah.
But so kudos to our buddies up at Thor Sport. I think that's awesome.
And I love that we bring the truck series to Indianapolis Raceway Park. And it's because that's old school racing. Yeah. I love the racetrack. I think it's a great show.
And guess where we take them next? Next week to Milwaukee Mile.
Milwaukee. That's another iconic racetrack. This brings me back to my history because I've raced both those places.
This first round of the truck series, we ended at Kansas, which is a great racetrack as well. But man, when I saw this, I'm like, this is just so rich, these racetracks. Yes. So kudos. I'll take the note from the end of my stack of notes here to Joe Scheer and Ty Majewski. Kudos. So that got us through Friday night.
And Saturday, we get to get dry tires, wet tires, strategy calls.
Yeah.
And Ty Gibbs was really darn good.
Ooh, man, he had that car rolling, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was rolling. So Ty Gibbs missed the win. And speaking of rolling, Sunday, Michael McDowell, Travis Peterson, Front Row Motorsports. We've talked about this team being good.
Yes.
We've talked about this team being good, and we've talked about it multiple times on ovals where they've had a top 10 finish on ovals, which is not their strength. We knew this was their strength. I'm not sure we saw this strength out of them, but what a day for that team.
Yeah, perfectly. I won't say perfectly, but very well executed day. And you know, I like the fact that we didn't have the cautions at the stage breaks. I think that brings this back to the piece I liked about this race is that a mistake was a penalty.
Yes.
I mean, if you looked at it, I think the best car of the weekend was the 99.
It was Daniel Suarez.
I think Suarez was a little bit better than McDowell was. Didn't show, I mean, McDowell won stage one, but if he doesn't have the 24 and a half second pit stop where the hose got under the tire, I think there's a heck of a race up front.
Yeah.
But McDowell, but they made a mistake and they paid a penalty for it. I like the fact that we don't reset and just make all the mistakes go away.
Right.
So in a lot of ways, 2 hour and 10 minute race, lots going on. Chase running him down at the end. I mean, Michael backing up to him. I think Michael McDowell, Travis Peterson, that whole front row program, they did everything right.
Yes, they did.
And they got rewarded with a win.
Yeah.
They led the most laps.
Yeah, they led the most laps, 54 laps. This is the most laps that team has ever led in a race.
Yep.
I mean, and it was just the last 30 laps, led the last 30 laps. Mm-hmm. And just McDowell never put a wheel wrong in those last 30 laps, and they kept it all on the pavement. I just found it fascinating that this is a rookie crew chief.
Yes,
this is a guy that you know that put that car together at the race shop.
Yep,
to go and practice, they qualified fourth, and then be like, whoa, wait a minute. They've been preaching point racing during these two road course races. We feel like we can outpoint everybody in these races. I know Saturday afternoon, because I heard some Michael McDowell interviews. Saturday afternoon, when they got done with that practice and qualifying session, he says, we might have to rethink point racing and go for race wins, and they did.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good adjustment. Travis has been really aggressive on being alternate strategies.
Yes.
And it's worked out for him a lot of places. Richmond, it didn't. They went with the one-stop strategy, stage one, along with Martin Truex Jr., and they were in a position they didn't need to, and I think that was a poor...
Right.
That was a rookie mistake, learning his way around it, but called the right race here. He's done a great job in this. And last year, when we looked at Blake Harris coming over here to Front Row Motorsports, really felt he had a significant impact on this place, and he did. And then that got him the job at the 48 at Hendrick Motorsports. Didn't know where that was going to be. I thought he was really special to what happened, but the growth that he created, Travis Peterson has picked up and expedited that going forward. I feel like they've done a phenomenal job of both the 34 and 38 team growing into very competitive teams. And you know, kudos to them. They put it all together. I think they and Daniel were right there neck and neck. But they did everything they needed to do. They got themselves a win. They're guaranteed in the playoff.
Man, they did not have that mistake.
No,
they did not
and I like the fact that that race penalized mistake.
Right, because you don't get a reset at the end of the stage. Don't get a win, and we didn't have the late race reset or restart that we all expected to come. We've seen it so many times, but that thing just played out, and that mistake on pit road at the end of the day, and that and the 34 car not
execution.
Having mistakes executing properly got them the win. Michael McDowell leads all drivers in points earned in the next gen car on road courses. There's been 10 road course races. Michael McDowell. So this is not a shocker. There was a lot of banter. Denny Hamlin. I think Michael might be on or has been on Action's Detrimental this week. Denny Hamlin was talking about Chase Elliott will kind of wear McDowell out on the road courses, and Michael's been like, "Well, pump the brakes there, cowboy." You know, and Denny actually tweeted, to Denny's credit, tweeted, "We had two losses today," and he screenshotted the Michael McDowell conversation. Yep. McDowell. 10 road courses, that there's a lot of that this team has done, but that driver's done a really nice job keeping it on course, and they've done a great job with the road course.
They have. And he's got a sports car background.
No doubt.
So he's really good at these places and should be a competitor again this weekend at Watkins Glen. Yeah. But and there's a lot of guys that would like to see him back-to-back.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of guys. There's a whole lot of guys that are, if I can't do it, I'm looking for, go Michael. Yeah, yep. You're right about it.
Yep.
I want to give a couple of attaboys. I want to go back and touch on something there. The no cautions to the end, I think I'm listening to the race, I'm listening to PRN, and you're waiting. And it didn't happen. There's something. And you talked about the penalty to the 99, no penalty for the 34 because they executed. But there was just something really old school neat about that race, just running from the lap 3 caution to the end.
Yeah, and the fact that it didn't have like set points at which you're going to have to make decisions.
Yeah,
you know, you saw the opportunity that I think Kevin Harvick or Austin Cindric were the first ones to pit road there before right. stage one, you know, lap 12, 13, somewhere in there.
Working it backwards.
But then there were guys that went out to 20.
Yeah.
And then there were guys like Denny Hamlin and Brad Keselowski. Brad stopped, I think, at lap 3 and topped off with fuel, but they went all the way through stage 2 to get stage 2 points. Like they started back in the 20s, I think 22nd, 25th. Knew their day wasn't, you know, they didn't have the pace to get top 10 finishes.
Right.
So they, Chris Capehart, Matt McCall, they made the strategy call. We're going to go ahead and stay out, go get stage 2 points, add those to our day. If it costs us 2 or 3 spots, the 10 spot, I mean, Denny got a stage win and 10 points. Brad got 7 points for finishing fourth. That netted out positive for their day. Love the opportunities for crew chiefs to make different calls.
All kinds of stuff going on with it. Yes, exactly. Now, a couple of attaboys. Chase Elliott, Alan Gustafson. Second place finish. They've got to feel good about where they're at. Yep. They've got to feel good that they had good performance going into another road course where they've had good performance. So attaboy to those guys for kind of working that ship pointed in a little bit better direction than we thought a month ago.
There's some light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Daniel Suarez, Travis Mack, they had the mistake on pit road, but man, third place finish. You one mistake puts you in third spot, but that doesn't diminish the fact that you brought an awful good race car to that racetrack, and I would suspect that they bring an awful good race car to Watkins Glen again.
Yeah. I mean, he outran his teammate that won Chicago Street Course, so...
That's right. Exactly. Yes. I think that's the other thing. The ringers, and Darian told us this a couple weeks ago here on the show, that was the perfect storm. for Shane Van Gisbergen.
Literally.
Well, yes, literally. But the storm that we don't talk about is the fact that nobody had any experience on that track.
Yes.
We got a lot of seat time for these drivers on the Indy Road course. And those ringers are great drivers, but they became normal drivers. They became really good drivers at that point.
And if we look at this, and I've gone through a little bit of this weekend. I late shift on Monday night, I think I talked about it. But Shane Van Gisbergen qualified in the top 10.
I know.
Ran in the top 10.
Yep.
Finished in the top 10.
Yeah, that's...
For somebody that's his second race ever Cup? That's an astronomical accomplishment. And I had callers saying, well, no.
Let's set that whole Chicago thing. You know,
let me show
that Chicago thing. What he did on Sunday was, if he does that Sunday without Chicago winning there, we're
celebrating
about
him.
It. We're celebrating
yes.
him.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
And that's a good point.
You know, and honestly, the other piece, Brody Kostecki.
Yeah.
Had what? 5 laps before the race on the racetrack before the race started, had to start a backup car because he was pushing, trying to make the top 10 and qualifying, and really had a great drive from starting at the back up into the low teens. Yep. They took a late pit stop and shuffled themselves back, taking an opportunity. If a caution came out, they were going to cycle because you're racing for wins.
Right. So that's it. Exactly.
It was cool to see all the outs.
No doubt. It was cool. And the final attaboy, Alex Bowman, you mentioned Blake Harris, his new crew chief. 5th place finish, 13 races without a top 10. This is a team. Alex's PRN interview is like, I feel like I won the race. You know, it's like when you get into one of those cycles where you can do nothing right, coming out of a place like Indy with a 5th place finish, again, light at the end of the tunnel, kind of some options. They're in that same boat. They got to go win a race.
Yep.
But they've got to feel a little bit better about going and winning a race after Indy than they felt about before Indy.
Yeah, and you look at it, there's a lot of guys. Because if you look at the finishing order, 5 of the top 6 finishers didn't have a win coming into Indianapolis. When you look at that, I'm giddy about going to Watkins Glen.
This is
going
to be awesome. It really, truly is. And another person that is going to be giddy about going to Watkins Glen is our guest. AJ Allmendinger is the driver that's going to be giddy, but Matt Swiderski is his crew chief, and they've got to be really optimistic. Whenever you take AJ to a road course, you've got to be optimistic.
And one that he's won at in the Cup Series.
Exactly. So there you go. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to Matt Swiderski from up at Colleg Racing, and we're going to do that next.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post, and let's do it. Let's go up to Colleg Racing. Joining us, crew chief for AJ Allmendinger on the Chevy Camaros up there. Matt Swiderski joins us. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys?
We're doing well. You go to Indy with a lot of hopes and a lot of optimism. Obviously, didn't work out quite the way you planned. Just kind of describe the way that race did go and didn't go necessarily the way you wanted it to, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, we actually felt pretty decent when we unloaded in practice and thought our car was halfway decent and learned a few things in practice. Thought we were going to be okay. Went into qualifying and missed the balance and knew that we had dug ourselves a pretty deep hole there. And once you're that far back, it's hard to predict what will happen. So race started off okay, made some good adjustments going into the race, and AJ was pretty happy with it. Decided to try to move the 12 and the 12 didn't appreciate it and didn't end up on the good side of that one. So it happens, and we'll just have to move forward from there.
That does happen. With McDowell winning, does the Glen become a must-win for you, or do you split your expectations with the Glen and Daytona?
I think we can go out and win either of them, but honestly, it puts me in a more comfortable position because it's, I hate having to do the points racing side of it and you know, it's a lot more fun when you just say, hey, let's go out there, run as fast as we can and try to win a race. And that's, we all got into this sport because we wanted to win races, not because we wanted to score points. So I'm excited for it. Just Not that it takes the pressure off. It's just a different type of pressure. Just go out there and run well and see what happens.
So with that, how has the elimination of stage end cautions at road courses changed the strategy options? And what do you see for options going into Watkins Glen?
Yeah, so I think it definitely, it makes the race more unpredictable, I think. You know, it had gotten almost cookie cutter in a way with the stage cautions, especially in situations we tended to be in where we felt like we were car capable of winning. You knew that, okay, we're just going to give up on stage points and go for the win. If for some reason, if you were running 15th or so, you knew that you could get up there at the end when people flip the stage and get a few points, where now it's a lot more like the old school, you know, look at running the races backwards and especially at the low tire fall off ones like Watkins Glen and Indy. So it's definitely changed it, but I feel like it's more unpredictable where, you know, they're not scheduled cautions anymore. And sometimes there's no cautions. So,
so I get to be up in the booth at Watkins Glen and broadcast a little bit of this and trying to think through all the strategy pieces you had. The one caveat I see relative, my experience is Gen 6, right? With five lug nuts. Your pit stops are so fast on tires that when you run that race backwards, you're going to end up waiting on fuel on that last stop if you do all of it backwards. Is there a benefit to kind of splitting that like third, third, third to try not to have to wait on 20 gallons of fuel?
Yeah, I think that definitely factors in. That's something we, even looking into Indy, started looking at a little bit on that last stop. Did we really want to be sitting there waiting? But sometimes the races play out where you get shuffled onto a slightly different strategy, and that might be a benefit for you where, you know, you're only needing 10 gallons there. And, you know, we kind of ended up in that category this past weekend, but obviously we're too far back when that happened where we could make it up. But it's definitely a lot more pressure on the fuelers and, having a solid plug in and, just having a clean stop is still critical.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you're building, and we all understand with this generation of race car, there's not a lot you can do. The difference between Indy and Watkins Glen, from my perspective, it seems very dramatic. From the car build, from the preparation and everything like that, what are things you're focused on when you look at the unique nature that you have going into Watkins Glen?
Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of a lot of the same things we used to do with the Gen 6 that you would see there, because Watkins Glen is such a fast road course. It's just, you're carrying a lot of corner entry speed. And so having that stability to be able to really charge the corners is important. So it's a lot of the same types of dials that we're playing with. We don't have as many options on the suspension geometry anymore. It's the same thing, just kind of a different tweak on the recipe a bit.
I remember we'd build right hand turn cars, right? You get as much, I know the weight kind of keeps you limited on where you can get to there, but even bodies, we'd work on offsets and things that's kind of eliminated from you. So you push everything you can to making a right hand turn car as little bit that you can push it, or how does that work?
Oh yeah. I mean, they gave us tolerances, so we'll take them up and try to be there. And, I hope I don't have to battle that too much, but yeah, it's still, no matter how small the tolerance they give us, we're going to do our best to make sure we're up against the limit there. So, I wouldn't say it's not a specific Watkins Glen car, but as we fine tune this car, it becomes more of a right-hand turn car. And actually this car I'm taking, this coming weekend to Watkins Glen, it'll be the first time this car is actually a road course car. Just because of it's a big challenge for us. I've run the same road course car all year, but back-to-back road courses, you just couldn't bank on it surviving it. So this car that I'm taking was my favorite intermediate car. It ran well at Nashville last, so it's going to have to learn to turn right now.
Yep, which means that everything from the greenhouse down is probably been massaged on and at least tweaked to take the tolerances. Just continue to build off the Watkins Glen. Talk about the challenges of pitting on Watkins Glen, downhill pit road and backwards pit stop.
Yeah. The backwards pit stops are obviously a challenge. We don't get to practice the behind the wall side of it a whole lot, but when we get to these types of races, we'll usually get everybody together and go practice it a little bit, just You know, it's just feels awkward to everybody. And, obviously the pit crew guys, but even just the simple things of rolling a tire or, if deciding if you flip flop the front and rear guy or if you, keep them with the guys they're used to working with. So that's definitely a challenge. I hope I qualify well enough this time where I actually have a decent pit selection. But yeah, you get down towards turn one and the car pretty much rolls away on you. And, but it's as long as you know that going in, there's some good spots down there to pick.
Do your guys, pit crew guys, over the wall guys, do they have a Saturday gig where they can at least get the, I know it's five lug nuts versus one, but do they have a Saturday gig so they can just get a little bit of the rhythm of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So they pit the 16 Xfinity car. So they're working in house with us. So, I get to check in with Bruce and Chris and see how they did on Saturday. And, we'll probably hang out for the first couple of stops just to make sure everything goes well. And, then we'll head out from there.
You bring up the Xfinity program and AJ went to Road America to run the Xfinity car there at a brake failure. This weekend didn't. I feel like when AJ's in an Xfinity field, I'd probably put my money on him. He's pretty darn good at that. The lack of executing or lack of having the success in the Xfinity program, how's that affected your program these last few weeks?
Yeah, it definitely affects it when AJ's in the car because, his mood will vary greatly depending on how it's, how it's going on Saturday. And I often, talked to Alex Jans, the crew chief on the 10, a lot throughout the weekend. We usually joke about, what kind of mood we're going to send him back to the other guy in. And, I'll try to repair his mood. Well, then I obviously didn't repair it in qualifying. So he was not in the best mood to start the Xfinity race. But, we it works well because we're a close-knit team. So Alex and I kind of communicate and, not that anything transfers between the cars, but at least give each other a heads up of which AJ is going to show up and how mad we've made him.
Driver confidence is the piece that you look to build off out of that. And as I looked at the entry list, I think AJ's on the entry list for the Xfinity race at Watkins Glen. Am I right in that?
No, he's actually not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, then you don't have to worry about Alex sending him back to you in a bad mood. You're responsible for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's all on you.
It's all on me this week. I can't blame any of it on Alex. So. Yeah.
Then
a serious question on this. And as a broadcaster and a guy that's hanging out in the pits and listening on the radio, love AJ Allmendinger. Okay. Yes. But as the guy that's managing the operations, your driver's talking about retaliating on another guy on the radio. We know how that goes this year. How do you manage that? And how do you manage the team and everything else around all of AJ's fire and passion?
With AJ, I think you kind of have to try to balance it out. And I'm generally try to be pretty calm. But the biggest thing with AJ is a lot of times he just needs to know that you hear him.
Yep.
And he does a really good job of resetting. It's amazing after after the race or after practice, when he gets back in the truck, it's 30 seconds to a minute. And, it kind of, everything calms down a bit and, it's the most rational conversation you can have about it. So it's, that side of it's good, but sometimes you have to figure out when he's going to be receptive to information and you want to feed him some information, but it's not going to go over well. So it's a balancing act and, had a few years of trying to perfect it. And I don't know that I ever will perfect it, but it's learning as I go.
It's a journey, right? It's a journey, not a destination. You got to continue down the path. I work with AJ for about a half a year. I understand that he's very passionate, but you hit it on the nail. You hit the nail on the head. He's passionate. He's very emotional, but he wants to do the right things. So you just got to find the time to give that to him. It seems like you two have done a great job. Talking a little bigger about college racing, we've always looked at, you've heard about Justin Haley and AJ, I mean, it's like my little brother, it's my kid and all this. How has Justin's announcement that he's moving on out of college racing next year, how's that affected team chemistry and your program?
Yeah, I mean, it was a shock to most of us. So it was a little bit awkward, but it was almost kind of like one of those situations where it's, awkward for about 10 minutes. And then everybody's like, well, you know, we still got the season to go. And obviously there's a little bit of things, topics that we have to be careful with Justin now, because there's, you know, Chevy information and going to a Ford team and all that. But beyond that, you know, Trent Owens and I are still, you know, very much on the same page, and Justin and AJ still sit next to each other on the plane, debrief, talk about it, laugh about it. You know, we still do the simulator sessions together. So it's mostly back to business as usual, and just focusing on getting best finishes we can. But it does put a bit more, I guess, emphasis on everybody trying to figure out what they're doing next year. Everybody's kind of, you know, a lot of rumors going around about who they'll have as a driver and everything. So trying to keep that out of everybody's mind for now, and just let everybody know that, you know, we still got work to do and a job to finish this season.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always a tricky part of it. That is certainly the case. My final question for you is, I'm snooping around on your social media and I see a link to Rudder's Rod Shop. Okay. A street rod shop. Yeah. Okay. Is that yours? Is it family? How? And then I go and I'm about us and there's no mention of you. What's the deal with Rudder's Rod Shop?
Yeah. So in 2015, I started doing real estate and kind of kept that as a side gig. And so in 2022, I decided, you know, I should go ahead and get a third job. So I purchased Rudder's Rod Shop out in Hickory. So on my days off, when Chris Rice and Matt Collig don't have me here in the shop, I go out to Hickory at Rudder's Rod Shop and wrench on some hot rods and try to use that as therapy for me right now. But
what do you got going on in the shop right now? What are the cool projects?
Nine cars in there. I got 70 Camaro we're building for a customer in California, 71 Camaro. I got a 35 Dodge Woody. We got all kinds of stuff going on. So we got a full machine shop, fab shop, paint booth. So I'm loving it. I enjoy going out there. It's my happy place to go kind of forget about racing for a minute and just go wrench on some cars.
Yeah, that's what I always find fascinating about you crew chief guys. And Todd's the same way, and most of you crew chief guys are the same thing. You want to get into racing because you love to work on cars, and you become a crew chief and you can't touch the cars. And yep. So I love that you have found your therapy, your happy spot with that rod shop up in Hickory. That is awesome.
Yeah. And it's the same type of thing too. Like, you know, I got a small group of guys out there. So a lot of what I've learned on kind of the team building side of being a crew chief, I found has kind of applied out there, where, you know, kind of finding the right group of people and how they need to be motivated and, you know, try to get the best work out of all your guys. It's really kind of the same thing, just working on custom cars.
Rudder's Rod Shop up in Hickory. If you need something done, give Matt a call. They'll hook you up. That's for sure. Matt, we always appreciate the time. We appreciate the candor that you give us, the information you give us. Thanks for joining us this week on Crew Call.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
There we go. Matt Swiderski joining us from Collig Racing. Stay with us. More Crew Call in just a moment.
Hey, everyone. It's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post hanging out. And man, I'll tell you what, that last question there of Matt, it's so true. You're racing your cars up and you love working on them. You love doing this. And congratulations, crew chief. Don't touch the car.
Yeah.
You know? And I love that he's found that outlet to be able to grab some wrenches and work on a car.
Totally understand it. Totally understand it. I've restored cars for my dad, for my in-laws. Working on one for myself. It's that release. You get to work mentally.
Yeah.
You have to work mentally. You have to work on people. And at some point you want that stress relief to just go do your own thing. And that's really cool that he's involved in that. Gets to work on some of that stuff.
Love that. What are you restoring for yourself?
At this point I bought a 65 Mercury Comet Caliente convertible.
Really?
Yeah. I bought that a couple of years ago, drove it for a year. And then I decided, probably need a motor upgrade, and it's getting a full suspension upgrade.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a project that's taking longer than it should.
Well, you've had a lot of other home projects and kids' college projects and everything else.
Yeah.
You have found, and I always enjoyed you were crew chief. You have found a lot of ways to fill the hours that you were looking to fill with other things other than crew chief.
Unfortunately, most of them cost me money.
There you go.
But it's been good. So
it's awesome.
It's cool to see Matt involved in something else. I'm glad you dug that up because that's kind of a cool story with that piece. And looking forward to what they can do coming to Watkins Glen. Oh,
Watkins Glen, man. I'll tell you, this thing to me, and we talked a little bit about it in the opening, the lack of stage breaks, but I think we're all rolling through the end of that race at Indy saying, surely there's going to be a caution. But there wasn't. And so what is that? And now as we go to Watkins Glen, it's like, because you think of Watkins Glen, when you think of Watkins Glen, you think of late race restarts. Last year, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, that spectacular finish we had with Marcus Ambrose and Kyle Busch and Brad and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think of Watkins Glen, you think about it, but we can't necessarily think about it now.
And you look at Watkins Glen and where it's gotten to from the years that I was a crew chief there. We used to have sand traps past turn one. You know, Jimmy Johnson flew over it back in the Xfinity car.
Yeah.
You had sand traps through the bus stop. You had sand traps off of turn, I'm going to call it 10. I'm old school, right, 10 and 11. We've paved all those areas. So really, when you look at Watkins Glen, missing turn one isn't going to be a caution. Missing off the carousel, that one usually turns you back into the guardrails and you get one. Off of 10 and 11, not really going to happen. Up through the S's, contacting the S's is where you're going to see a caution. Yeah. I feel like, because you've got that Armco barrier on both sides. Yeah. It's pretty narrow. We'll see where it goes. I would expect to see a couple cautions. The other piece is that now all of these guys that we've talked about in the bubble, they're now racing for a win. And when you look back in the field, you've got Chase Elliott, Daniel Suarez, Alex Bowman, Chase Briscoe, Austin Cindric, AJ Allmendinger,
Ty Gibbs.
I mean, and all of these guys' focus went from, as Matt just talked about, it went from, okay, am I points racing? How am I going to handle this? To I've got to win. And that's, that strategies come differently. And then also the angst to the drivers. It's going to be interesting to see how this works. And I feel like that will bring the opportunity for a couple more cautions. Not that we need them. I like the way the race played out at Indy, but we'll see how Watkins Glen plays out.
Angst among the drivers.
Yeah.
That's what we want. Angst among the drivers.
Yeah. And you look at it at this point, and I love this. I love that McDowell won last weekend.
Yeah.
Because it brought, here's the storyline change, right? We were talking about all of these guys and which of these three or four guys could point their way into
we
that last spot.
We had a great point battle.
Yeah.
We did have a good, great point battle, no doubt about it. And
For weeks, I've talked about Chase Elliott's not chasing that. Chase Elliott's got to chase at least Bubba.
Right.
And right now, I feel like if I had to put money down, I'm taking Chase Elliott Watkins Glen.
Man, they have got to feel that second place run. The last time they had a runner-up finish was Auto Club Speedway in February.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And so to me, there's got to be a good feeling in that Napa shop because Chase has corrected us that their performance is not good. We'll say, well, you know, you're doing this, you're doing this. He says, guys, our performance has not been good.
And most of it's been mine. A lot of his have been inward. But
yes, inward. Yes, exactly. Their performance was good at Indy.
And it was. And I really, they started on the front row. I think they made a poor choice. Mm-hmm. In picking the outside, they put Larson where he had to make a move on him because
last year it was AJ that was going to dive low. You know, AJ was going
AJ or Joey. I'm not sure which one it was, but he was in a vulnerable position.
Yeah, whoever was behind Larson there and that restart of Watkins Glen was
forced Larson to make the move into
to make the move.
But it's just one of those things. So if that happens, our storyline into Daytona is. Is Kevin Harvick or Brad Keselowski going to make it?
Imagine that.
Because if we get Chase or one of these seven guys that we just talked about as a winner at Watkins Glen, you have to anticipate you're going to have an outlier winner at Daytona.
Yeah.
And at that point, if that were to happen, Brad Keselowski or Kevin Harvick is not going to make the playoffs. The next 2 weeks are The storylines are great.
Yeah, they really are. And it is going to be good. Watkins Glen is up next, and Motor Racing Network is there with coverage all weekend long. We started off Friday night, 6 o'clock, the Arkans, the Arca Menard Series, the General Tire 100 at the Glen. Saturday, 12:30 Eastern Time, NASCAR Cup Series practice and qualifying. 3 o'clock, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, the Shriner Children's 200 at the Glen. And Sunday, 2 o'clock, airtime, Motor Racing Network, NASCAR Cup Series, go bowling at the Glen. It is going to be awesome. It is going to be fun. Looking forward to spending a little time in the Finger Lakes with you as well. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, me as well. It's beautiful country this time of year, and I really love the racing we put on up there. Yeah. A special place for me. I've won on both sides, and swept a weekend, 2015.
That's right. Yeah,
that was fun. So. But love getting back there and love the racing they put on there. Yeah,
going to be fun. That is for sure. Hey, we do appreciate Matt Swiderski joining us from up at College Racing. But more important than that, thank you for joining us here on Crew Call. He's Todd Gordon. I'm Steve Post. We'll see you next time here on Crew Call.